The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
The Celebrant Foundation and Institute, the preeminent school for ceremony and ritual careers, teaching people to become professional life cycle celebrants via its international online programs, proudly supports spirituality and health and essential conversations with Rabbi Rami. Sign up now for a Celebrant Open House webinar. To learn more, go to celebrantinstitute.org.
From Spirituality and Health magazine, I'm Rabbi Rami, and this is Essential Conversations. My guest today is Beverly D'Onofrio. Beverly is an author, documentarian, and memoirist whose New York Times bestseller, Riding in Cars with Boys, was made into a popular movie. Her personal essays have appeared in magazines like the New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, The Oprah Magazine, Cosmopolitan. The list just goes on and on. And she's been included in a number of anthologies. Her essay, Making the Leaf in Mary, is featured in the January-February issue of Spirituality and Health magazine. Beverly D'Onofrio, welcome to Essential Conversations.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So I want to really focus on your encounters with the Virgin Mary and your practice of the rosary. Mm-hmm. You write in the Spirituality and Health piece that, and I'm quoting here for a second, that you made the choice to believe in the Holy Mother, and that's a close quote. So what does that mean exactly? Is belief really a choice? How are we to understand this?
Well, I suppose I could have written, I opened to belief in the Virgin Mary. I knew that I wanted to believe in a God, and I knew that for me, the only way that would happen is if it were feminine. And I was raised Catholic and had an abiding love of the Virgin Mary when I was a little kid, and it kind of continued all through life. Like when I look back or in retrospect, even though I would have called myself an agnostic, I always had Mary around the house. You know, there'd be Mary on the wall and a little statue above the sink. And so I wanted to believe that there was something bigger than me that loved me and loves the world. I just wanted to believe that. And so I tried, and it happened.
So you're raised Catholic, and like many Catholics, you're sort of surrounded by images of the Virgin Mary. But you said just a moment ago that if you were going to believe in a God, it would have to be a female deity. Why isn't the Trinity enough? Why doesn't Jesus work?
Well, I like Jesus. Jesus is fine. But Jesus wasn't fine when I began this search, because I was raised Catholic in the 1950s, and Jesus was the suffering presence who made me feel guilty all the time because I was told that he was suffering for my sins. And then God, if I stubbed my toe, my mother would say, see, God punished you. And so I equated God, a male God, with judgment and punishment and pain. And, I like women, but I think women are more intelligent and better. So, excuse me, but.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's an argument there.
And I'd rather have a mother. I mean, if I had to choose between a mother and a father, I go for the nurturing. I mean, here I am, I'm being really sexist, but, a soft presence that is more heart than mind. And that's how I think of Mary.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you, and that's how you see Mary. You write elsewhere that you say Mary is the current incarnation of all goddesses. Mm-hmm. And I was curious about that, now even more so with this notion of the softer side of deity. Lots of goddess figures, I've been in India twice in the last few months. Lots of the mother goddess figures there are strong. They're not nurturing. They're mm-hmm. Their love, and I think they are all about love, but their love is searing. It's burning. Mm-hmm. It burns away. I'm thinking of Kali and, mm-hmm. all the skulls cutting away all the delusion in our lives. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with that side of motherhood?
Well, I think, I totally think that Mary embodies that too, or the feminine divine embodies that too. But I kind of embody that. I'm kind of like, I'm an alpha female. I need softness. So I concentrate on the soft part of Mary, because that's what I need to balance myself out. Not that I'm, a Kali, but, I'm more, I'm not very soft myself. I'm not very nurturing.
So do you find your practice of the rosary with a focus on Mary helping you become more nurturing?
I think it's softened me, definitely. I think prayer, any kind of prayer would. It makes me more patient, more tolerant, softer.
So you came to this practice of the rosary in a slightly different way. I mean, I don't know if you were raised with that when you were young, but in the essay, you write about practicing the rosary in Clark Strand's rosary group. Now, we've had Clark on the show, and I'd love to hear your experience with his group, how you got involved with that, and you know more about what it's done in your life.
Well, first of all, I think Clark would wince at it being called Clark Strand's Rosary Group. Supposedly, we have no leader, and Clark is a member of the group.
Okay.
And although he did start the group, and he's the smartest person in the group, so, you know, take that for what it's worth. I was at a writer's festival. I had just moved to Woodstock, New York that year, and I was invited to a book, my last book, Astonish, had just come out, and I was invited to get sit on a panel and attend the workshop. To attend the festival. So I'm sitting in the audience, and it's really crowded, and I see a woman looking for a seat, and I have an empty seat next to me. And remember I said I'm like Holly, like I'm not friendly, and I don't like to chat. And I normally wouldn't say, here's a seat, but I did. And I, you know, motioned to her, and she came, sat down, and she introduced herself, and I introduced myself, and she said, oh my God, I came here to hear you. I love looking for Mary. There's a rosary group. And I had never found, I've been on this, I've had this Mary devotion for 20 years and had yet to find a rosary group. And to move into Woodstock, New York, you know, the kind of mecca of unconventionality and esoteric belief systems, and find a rosary group, it felt a little bit like a miracle. And she said, and Clark, here's the Virgin. And Clark, a big Buddhist who is an editor of Tricycle magazine and written books about Buddha, had a visitation, and now and then has messages that he conveys to us. But you know, that's not the focus of the rosary group. The focus of the rosary group is praying the rosary and then speaking our petitions aloud. It creates an incredible intimacy. And the longer we're together, the deeper what we want is revealed even to us. It's really a wonderful thing. So people pray for things like, you know, my back taxes. I haven't paid my back taxes in 5 years. Can you make this go away? You know, you kind of laugh at a request like that, but you don't need to know how anything is going to happen. You can just imagine, hope, wish that it will happen. And often it does. So he got a notice that his taxes were uncollectible.
Well, that's good news for those of us who are moving into tax season.
Right.
So do you believe, yeah, don't pay, just pray.
Just pray.
I mean, that's the way to do it. I'm not going to pay my taxes anymore. I'm going to ask the Virgin Mother to take care of it for me. Somehow I don't find that as compelling as the notion that it softened you, it made you more compassionate.
Totally.
Well, it sounds like you do believe that Mary is intervening in these very concrete ways.
You know, I like to think of this energy as Mary. I like to personify it. I don't really believe that there's this woman up in the sky doing anything. We all can probably manifest things just by imagining and hoping and sending the energy there. But what is energy? I think energy is God. And I like to think of God as Mary, because I just like it.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm basically a non-dualist, and I don't believe that God is a person, and yet I have had too many encounters with a divine personality. I don't mean a human being. I mean, you know, I've had encounters with Mary. I've had encounters with other of the divine feminine figures.
Oh.
So I understand what you're talking about. I take it as I don't doubt my own experience, but I do see it as more psycho-spiritual than purely spiritual. I think there's some kind of projection there for me.
I agree.
Because of what you said, I just find the male deity to be impossible to work with. I just don't have any luck with that at all. But I'm very involved with a group called the Daughters of Wisdom. I wonder if you've heard of them.
I haven't heard of them.
So for anyone who's listening, let me just put this in your ear, literally, and suggest that you check this out. The Daughters of Wisdom are an order of sisters from France. They were founded in 1703 by, he's a saint now, Louis de Montfort and Blessed Mary Louise. And they created a whole order of Catholicism that focuses on Mary. Ooh. And the wisdom literature, which is all about the divine feminine. Wisdom in Greek and Hebrew and Latin is feminine.
Sophia,
right. So when you read in Proverbs and you find that the first thing God created was this female character, Sophia, Chachma in Hebrew, wisdom in English, and that she is sort of the way the universe is created and the creative energies of the universe. Ooh. Just goes on and on. They deal with all of this stuff.
And so where can we find this online?
Yeah, well, you can find them online, but they actually have a fantastic retreat center in Litchfield, Connecticut.
Oh, and right in my backyard.
Oh, there you go. And I go there at least once a year. But
so
anyone
what
who's
happens there?
They offer different retreats. They may be interested in offering something, you know, that you would lead based on.
Do they live there?
Oh, yes. The sisters.
Oh, I'm totally going.
It is an amazing place, and I've had some powerful Mary experiences there.
Oh, so thank you for telling me. Can't wait to tell my rosary group.
I'm sharing it online.
The logo.
I'm sharing it, you know, during the show rather than offline because I want others to hear about it. If you're interested in this kind of work with the Divine Mother, this is a wonderful place to go, Wisdom House. You know, at the end of Clark Strand's book, and I don't think we spoke of it when he was on the show, but you write about it. There's this, it's in his book, Waking Up to the Dark. Mary presents her own gospel. Mark calls it the gospel according to the dark. And you reference it. What do you make of that? Can you tell us what she has to say and how you understand it?
That dark times are coming. Yeah. And dark times are sometimes necessary to purge and to change things. Whenever something tragic happens, often it's a turnaround in your life and you go in another direction or you see things in ways you never did before. And basically what is coming environmentally will do that to our society. And she never says when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. You know, it could be 100 years from now. It could be 1,000 years from now. It could be next year. I don't know. And she doesn't say.
True. She doesn't say. Just to let you know, your memory is fine. That is the message. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. That is the message. I read it, and the fact that she doesn't tell us when, I just sort of read it as now. When you look at the news, when you look at what's going on with climate change and with and I think it is a clash of civilizations, not between Muslims and the West or Muslims and Christianity or something like that. I think it's a clash of civilizations between fundamentalisms and liberalisms, wherever you find these categories of people. And I see the whole thing as we're heading into a big collapse. So do you think that? Where are you with that?
I do think that. I think that basically the grid is going to go down. This is my, I don't know why I think this, but I think there's going to be no electricity. And imagine our lives without electricity.
That's hard to imagine.
It's really hard. And people will die. And people will suffer. And we'll get to look at the stars at night. Sometimes the power goes out in my house and I think, oh no, is this it? And I don't panic or anything, but I think, how am I going to find out if this is it? Because I can't call anybody up and my neighbors have it, but you know, I don't know about cross town.
Right. Now there's a book that, Ted Koppel just came out with recently. About, I don't remember the name of the book, but this is what it's about. And he, too, is very concerned that this is going to be the big collapse. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, he's storing water and food for himself and his children. Do you think it's necessary? I mean, almost every religion has some kind of apocalyptic scenario somewhere in it.
They had it even in Jesus's time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Paul thought this was it.
All of life, right? And there was the flood. It's probably in every religion. Is it in every religion?
I hate to make a blanket statement because I'm sure someone knows a religion that doesn't have it, but it certainly is in the major ones that I can think of off the top of my head. And, you know, that could simply be a psychological dimension that all human beings share, you know, this sense of disaster, impending doom. Mm-hmm. Or it could be an insight that all humans have that there is periodic, you know, moments of the dark night of the entire civilization where everything melts down and hopefully comes back. You know, the Kali Yuga is where we are now, according to the Hindus. And, you know, that's always followed by a golden age. So it's not like, uh-oh, this is it. It's doom and gloom forever. But we are in the Kali Yuga. And I think we're farther along than most of my Hindu friends would like to admit. Mm-hmm. So how do you think your work with the rosary and your experience with Mary helps you navigate the collapse?
It's very helpful. It's almost like I have these beautiful beads. They're amber and they're almost soft and they almost have their own heat. And just holding them in my hand feels like I'm holding the hand of help or comfort. And praying just puts me in another frame of mind. I'm not scared. Mm. Whatever comes, comes. And I, you know, used to know that I should think that way. For example, I teach a workshop and sometimes someone will contact me and say they want to take it and we'll have all kinds of negotiations and in the end they don't. And all I feel is relief because they didn't belong in the group. You know, where before I would have felt disappointment. Right. I just am able to accept things so much easier.
So we're just about at the end of the show. If someone is interested in taking up rosary practice, what do you suggest?
Well, I suggest learning the Hail Mary. You can find all the directions online. Get yourself a rosary beads that you love. My favorite ones have twine rather than metal because they don't break. And start praying the rosary. Pray it in your car. Pray it when you're walking. And you don't even really have to be thinking about the words you're praying. Just pray. Just relax and say those words. It's kind of like a mantra. And it brings you to another place. And the more you do it, the longer you do it, the deeper it brings you.
Well, now that I know you're doing it while driving, I'm going to be more careful just in case you're in my neighborhood. You'll be in a different place. I need you to be behind the wheel. But okay, let's don't do the rosary while operating heavy machinery. How about we just put that little warning out there?
Well, I disagree. I think I probably drive better because I'm praying rosary.
Okay.
I'm holding Mary's hand.
Oh, great. Okay, Mary is your co-pilot. I get it. Very good.
You should see the accidents I avoid. But it's due to my own bad driving. But I don't get near. Let me knock on wood.
Okay, do that. And while you're doing that, I got to bring the show to a close. My guest today, who is absolutely delightful, is Beverly D'Onofrio, author of numerous books for both adults and children. Her book, Looking for Mary, deepens this conversation, and it's absolutely well worth reading. Her essay, Making Belief in Mary, is in the January-February issue of Spirituality and Health magazine. You can learn more about Beverly's work at her website, beverlydonofrio.com. And I just want to thank you, Beverly, for being with us on the show. This was absolutely engaging.
Oh, well, thank you. And I can't believe this place in Litchfield. I am just so lit up.
Oh, good. We'll get more business for them.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for this show comes from the Celebrant Foundation and Institute, an international online professional training program for life cycle celebrants. Sign up now for a Celebrant Open House webinar. To learn more, go to celebrantinstitute.org. Essential Conversations with Rabbi Rami is a project of Spirituality and Health magazine. Visit spiritualityhealth.com and subscribe to the magazine in either print or digital formats, and download the iTunes app for this podcast. Essential Conversations is produced by Corinne Johnston, and our program coordinator is Al Matassi. I'm Rabbi Rami. Thanks for listening.